This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked, locked, hour number two of USA Prepares. Kathy's with us. We're talking about home improvements, and we're talking about paint. So I went out into the garage during the break, and I see we have 4 5-gallon buckets left of paint that we're going to use for the living room. And after 16 years, the living room, the spackling is not finished. And the walls have not been painted. But I think we have enough paint for that. 4 5-gallon buckets ought to do it. And the reason I bought a lot of paint when we started building this house. And the reason I bought it was on sale. And I wanted it to all be the same lot. Okay, because all of the rooms in this house are painted the same color, except for just a couple. And they are kind of an eggshell color. It's kind of an off-white. It's not, the ceilings are all the same color. That's ceiling white. And by the way, ceiling white paint is exactly the same color as the spackle when it dries. So the reason that builders like to use ceiling white is because they don't have to be as careful. As a matter of fact, if you texture the ceiling, the whole ceiling, you don't have to paint it at all, because I found a house that we bought. And it was by the best builder around, and I thought the ceiling had been painted. I went to wash a little spot on the ceiling, and it had never been painted in the first place. So ceiling white and spackle are the same color, but you do want to paint. And the reason you want to paint is you want to prevent the moisture in the living quarters from going in the walls. Okay, because ultimately it could cause damage if your house is really, really humid on the inside. So that's not the case in ours, and I'm looking forward to, you know, this summer getting on the scaffolding and finishing the spackle in our living room. It takes 3 sets of scaffolding, 3 sets vertically, to reach the peaks. I should have to put a ladder on top of that to get to the highest part of the ceiling in the living room, and it's going to be a job, and I'm not looking forward to it, but I want to get it done before I'm, you know, at a point where I'm too old to even consider spackling and painting that room. But we've used Olympic, and we've used Valspar paints, and we're okay with both of those, as well as Benjamin Moore. Your thoughts? Have you ever used Valspar or Olympic?
Boy, Vince, I think we've used the Valspar in one of our houses, but I don't think the builders use that. It seems like most of them want to use either a real cheap paint, or I see a lot of them use Sherwin-Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, and Sherwin-Williams sells spackle, and they sell all the, you know, wall covering materials, you know, liquid wall covering materials. And you're right. They have accounts, and they buy it in bulk. And I don't know. I've never really used Sherwin-Williams. Around here, they don't even call it Sherwin-Williams. They call it Sherman-Williams, but it's Sherwin-Williams. Do you have any other thoughts about painting that you want to
share? Well, yeah, this one you probably can't help me with, but I don't know how I do it, but I get paint all over me. It's on my hands. I get it on my clothes. It's in my hair. I'm careful, but I don't know what I do, but I seem to be the messiest painter between me and my husband, and if we have family or friends help us.
Well, Mrs. Finelli, I think, and you went to the same school of painting, and she gets it all over her. We have some shirts. When I used to have a job back in the '80s, you know, white shirts, and I'd wear a white shirt. And so she has one of those that she uses just for painting. And it's got, you know, 20 years worth, 30 years worth of paint on this particular white shirt that she wears. And that protects her from getting it on her, you know, on her arms and so forth. She wears blue jeans, and it's all over the blue jeans as well. But what I do is I never fill the paintbrush bristles. I just dip the tip, you know, like maybe 1/8 deep. And ultimately it works higher and higher up the bristles of the brush. But I don't soak the brush with paint. And that way it doesn't get on my hands. And the other thing I wanted to mention, how I clean brushes. I'd like to hear from you. How do you clean brushes, latex paint, you know, water-based paint? Do you have a preferred method?
You know, Vince, I think we just run them in soapy water or soak mm-hmm. them a little bit and then just mm-hmm. run them. And it take like, I don't know if we have like a bristle brush. My husband normally does most of that. He seems to mm-hmm. get it out, but I know you have to get all the paint out or it just gets hard and it's difficult mm-hmm. to paint with after that. That's so right. I probably don't have the best method, Vince.
All right, what I do is I take a clean sink, like a kitchen sink, and nothing else in the kitchen sink, and it's been washed out. And I will put the brush in there, and I'll run some warm water on the brush. And then I will brush the bottom of the sink, you know, the base of the sink, with that brush in the water until I get most of the paint out. Then I use a kitchen fork, a stainless steel fork. And I will put some like Dawn or Palmolive dishwashing liquid on the bristles. And I'll use the fork and run the fork through the bristles, going the same direction as the bristles go. And I keep repeating that, and that cleans out in between the bristles, and it works really, really well. Then when I'm done and I think I've gotten all the paint out, I'll go outside, take that brush, and I will shake it to fling the water off it. And then I'll hang it on the clothesline. And I'll hang it with the bristles pointing down. But I will shape those bristles so that they don't fan outward. You know, it's kind of like combing hair. I want to comb those bristles so that they don't fan outward. And then I let it dry in the sun. And it works great. So we have paint brushes here that I've inherited from my father when he built his first house around 1950. So we have paint brushes, and they were good quality brushes back then, and they were expensive back then. So there's 70, some of the brushes that we have are 70, 60, 50 years old. And if you take care of them, they will last a very, very long time. And so that's what we do. And immediately upon finishing that use of the paintbrush, if it's a latex, it's going to be washed immediately. If it's a good quality paintbrush and we're using oil-based paints and we don't want to throw that brush away, then we are going to clean that with a fork, a kitchen-type fork, and solvent. So that's what we do. But, you know, most people don't want to use oil-based paints anymore because the cleanup is awful. And, you know, you can't clean it up with water. And, of course, we use drop cloths. Now, a drop cloth is not a tarp. And a tarp is not a good idea to use as a drop cloth. And the reason that you want to use a canvas-type drop cloth is because when you drop paint on a drop cloth, it gets absorbed and it doesn't travel very far. And it dries very quickly compared to a tarp. If you have one of those Harbor Freight blue tarps and you use that as a drop cloth, what happens is the paint doesn't dry very quickly, and as you walk across the tarp, you get the paint on your shoes, and then it travels. It travels farther. So we don't use tarps as drop cloths. We use drop cloths as drop cloths. Now, what you can do is if you have an old sheet, you can use that. It's not good because sheets are generally a blend of cotton plus, you know, polyester or something like that. And the cotton is what is really good for the drop cloth. The polyester is not so good, so the paint will not dry as quickly on a sheet. But you certainly can use that. And then when you're done, don't throw it away. Let the paint dry out and then save it for the next use. And that's what we do. We have drop cloths that have been around here since the 1980s. You know, They keep getting moved from house to house to house as we, you know, as we travel. So those are a couple of my thoughts. Kathy, you have any suggestions that you want to add?
Vince, the only other thing I wanted to mention was, first of all, that was a great idea on the canvas drop cloth. I don't have any of those, but next time we paint, that's what I'm going to use. Vince, the other thing I wanted to mention is before we paint, we clean everything. I wash the walls down. I clean all the cobwebs. I clean the wood. We clean the trim. We mask it, dry it. We mask it off with either that blue tape, or you can use certain kind of like the even a masking tape, as long as it's not, you don't leave it on there forever. But I clean everything real good. I wash the walls and the ceilings if I can. If I can, I sure, with the ceilings, I at least dust them real good or take a vacuum and, you know, try to get all the cobwebs. You just don't want to be painting dirt, and you don't want to, like, if you've got a bump in the wall, like, I wanted to ask you, Vince, a lot of times you get those nail pops where they pop out in the wall. How do you correct yours?
Well, the only way I know of correcting nail pops from sheetrock is to hit them back in and then spackle over them. But to prevent that in this house, you can prevent a lot of that. And what we did was we glued and screwed most of our sheetrock down. What that means is we used a wallboard type adhesive on the studs. And we applied that to the studs. Then we put the sheetrock on the studs. Then we screwed the sheetrock to the studs. So it's really bonded. And I don't think we have any nail pops, or, you know, maybe screw pops, but we don't have any of that. But most houses do. And that comes from the flexing of the studs, the flexing of the joists, the flexing of the framing, and the movement, and not spackling well. So the only way that I can think of to fix that is to hit them back in, and then respackle them. And sometimes you have to dig out the original spackle. But you know, sheetrockers are in a hurry. They really are, and they don't necessarily make sure that the substrate or the framing material is flat when they put the sheetrock on. So there are voids between the sheetrock and the studs. So if that's the case, there's going to be movement there, and you're going to have nail pops. I mean, that's just the way it is. And most of them happen in the ceilings, because people walking on the second floor deflect, the framing, the ceiling joists, the floor joists, and that causes the ceiling sheetrock to have those nail pops. But most houses have nail pops. They really do. And it takes a lot longer to screw sheetrock on than it does to nail it on. Nail is boom, 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 done. Sheetrock, screwing it on, probably takes 5 times longer, maybe 10 times longer, per screw versus per nail. And the guys that that do the sheetrock work keep the nails in their mouth, which is crazy, and they're in a big hurry, and they miss a lot of times. So a lot of times those nails don't go squarely into the 2x4s or the 2x6s or the 2x8s or 12s, whatever it happens to be. They go in sideways, and they don't hold very well, or they break the paper too much, and that causes the sheetrock to be weak. So the only fix I know of is to...
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com. And discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Last day. God, you're
take my.
When you go to
the
for
2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Kathy's with us. We're talking about home improvements. Kathy, do you have any suggestions for cleaning rollers, or do you do the same thing? Put the rollers, wrap it in like a saran wrap, put it in a Ziploc bag, and you put it in the refrigerator or freezer, you know, between uses?
That's what we do. And I don't know, Vince, I can't remember whether we clean them or whether it's just so much. I think we do, but if it seems like we can't get all the paint out, we might just buy new. It's been a few years since we did it here, so.
Yeah, I try to clean ours almost all the time. I try to clean them, and I've probably got 20 different rollers here and different textures over the years, and you can clean them. But if you're going to paint, let's say, a room, and you think it's going to be spread over a week, just 1 week, you can wrap that roller in. Do you take the roller off the roller handle and just put the roller cover in saran wrap? You might want to put a couple drops of water on it to keep it moist. Put it in the freezer or refrigerator, and it will keep. And that prevents the paint from getting hard, and it works really well. But I have a suggestion for the roller handles, if you will. Don't buy the cheap ones, the real thin ones that flex. Buy the kind that the painters use. And if you buy one of them, it's going to cost twice as much, maybe three times as much. I don't know what they cost now, but these cost about $3. So my prices are, you know, prior to the hyperinflation that we've had. So I don't know what the current price is. But I do know that if you clean them very carefully, and you clean the roller ends, and you clean the metal and the handles, you can keep them for 30 years, because that's how long, maybe more. I've got some from, well, probably 35 years old, maybe 40 years old, and they work just great. And then we have those extension handles. They're like broomsticks, if you will, but they're expandable. Now, you can buy the cheap ones at the Chinese factory outlet, you know, thin, and that's okay. Or you can buy the heavy-duty fiberglass ones, and we have both. And I like the heavy-duty fiberglass ones that are expandable. So they start out about 4 feet long, and you can make them maybe 7 feet long. You know, they're kind of a twist, kind of a lock, expanded pole. And they work really, really well. But after you paint, you want to get the paint off there so that you can collapse it again. So what we're talking about is taking care of your tools. Kathy, have you ever used one of those expanded roller handles?
Mm-hmm.
Or roller poles?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They work great, right? It saves the back. And so here's a question, and I don't know the answer to this. Do you do the corners first, or do you touch up the corners later?
Mm.
You know, with a brush, if you're using a roller.
I think I do the corners first, and then I get as close mm-hmm. as I can without touching the ceiling. And mm-hmm. then if I have to go back, then I touch up.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what we do. We do actually do it both ways. But the idea with the roller is you can leave that kind of orange skin texture, kind of, I think it's called orange peel texture, with the roller. And I'm not talking about really bumpy. I'm just talking about just the most minute texture of the paint on the wall. And I kind of like that compared to the brush strokes. So what we do is we try to cover as much as we can with the roller, and then we touch up. Now, sometimes the end of the roller will leave a streak in the corner where two walls join or where the walls join the ceiling. And so if you have a brush at the ready, you can brush that. It's not like a drip, but it's like a heavy application in a line from the end of the roller. So you can touch that up immediately if you have a brush. And that's what we do. But painting is not one of my favorite things. Spackle is even less favorite of the things I like to do. But, you know, we do it anyway. So the job is a laborious kind of job. At least for us it is, because there's so many square feet of it. I think we have roughly 8 5-gallon buckets left for the rest of the house. And one of the strategies that we used, Kathy, is we wanted to paint all the rooms the same color. That way, the touch-up paint would be the same for a whole bunch of rooms rather than, you know, a different color for each room. But all the ceilings are ceiling white. Have you used that same strategy, or do you have different colors?
We have mostly the same colors, but I have a couple different colors in the same color palette just for accent.
Yes, and we've done the same thing. We've done the same thing. And, you know, if you don't go...
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden, in his first joint session of Congress speech Wednesday night, says corporate America will see tax increases.
But it's time for corporate America and the wealthiest 1% of Americans to just begin to pay their fair share. Just their fair share. I'm not looking to punish anybody. But I will not add a tax burden, additional tax burden to the middle class in this country. They're already paying enough.
Republican Senator Tim Scott disputes Biden's claim Americans are systemic racists.
Kids are being taught that the color of their skin defines them again. Hear me clearly. America is not a racist country. It's backwards to fight discrimination with different types of discrimination.
Vaccine maker BioNTech expects results by September from trials testing the COVID-19 vaccine for babies as young as 6 months old. USA Radio News.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least four times per day and inject insulin at least three times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Counterfeit vaccine cards. Why is this a problem? Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau explains.
As Americans continue to be vaccinated, the fight against fake vaccination cards continues. 42 bipartisan attorneys general across the country are raising concerns about the public health risks associated with fraudulent cards. North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein says these fake vaccine cards are a huge issue.
This is incredibly problematic because it will damage people's health. More people will get the virus, pass it on to others if there is widespread use of fake vaccine cards.
The Democrat also telling ABC's Good Morning America that sites like OfferUp and eBay are working with him and other attorneys generals to prevent fraudulent or blank COVID-19 cards from being sold.
We've heard back from the four we contacted. They all indicated they want to cooperate and rid their websites of these cards.
COVID-19 vaccines are free to consumers and vaccination providers because the federal government paid manufacturers to produce and deliver vaccines. Now that NASA's Ingenuity Mars helicopter has accomplished the goal of achieving powered controlled flight of an aircraft on the red planet, and with the data from its most recent test flight, the project has met or surpassed all of its technical objectives. The Ingenuity Mars helicopter was built by the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions.
Instruction that matters.
At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Kathy's with us and we're talking about painting. I just wanted to mention that tomorrow, hour number one, it looks like it's just going to be me for the first hour with tips from the book. So if you'd like to give us a call and weigh in with some tips that you have, that number is 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933. And hour two will be with Bert, and we'll be talking about science. Kathy, I just wanted to mention ceilings. Do you paint your ceilings all the same color?
Yeah, that ceiling white.
And the reason I ask is, you know, it's if you have multiple rooms in the house and you just and you standardize on ceiling white, if you have some left over, you can use it for touching up. If you need to buy some more, they are able to make, you're able to just buy it right off the shelf and pretty much have it match. because it's pre-mixed at the factory. Ceiling white makes the room, it reflects the light the best, in my opinion. Overall, it's the best for reflecting light and making the room look, you know, brighter. And that reduces your overall electricity cost for lighting. You know, because that ceiling's probably, well, in our case, ceilings don't get painted very often. You know, maybe every 20 years, something like that, maybe. And we paint our house with whites, or a shade of, from white. And the reason that we do that is it is a nicer, to me, it's a nicer clean look, and it's a traditional look, and it makes the rooms look bigger. That's why decorators and realtors say, you know, if you're going to paint before you sell the place, paint with white because it makes the rooms look bigger. Kathy, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I was in a house recently where the bedroom was like a dark blue, and they painted the ceiling dark blue. It just felt like a small box. It really, really made it look a lot smaller, and so then mm-hmm. they painted the ceiling white, and then the walls were like a light gray, so it totally changed the room. And I was going to bring that up too, Vince. Like, they make the little containers that you can buy, they're like, I don't know, they almost look like a third of a gallon, and you can paint your wall before you buy the paint. And I've always found it difficult to pick a color off the paint sample. To me, I always feel like when I pick it off of there, it looks darker when it's on the wall. So let's say you were going to go with a tan or a gray or something. Put that on the wall and maybe live with it for a few days, because it depends on how much shadowing you get in your house and you have a lot of trees overhanging, and it might be just the wrong shade for you. So I would buy one of those samples and live with it, even if you had to buy a gallon and just do areas on, you know, maybe different walls, just to see if you like the color, so you don't go through all that work. And I had a house probably 15 years ago, and I wanted a real light, like a yellow, just a real soft yellow in the one room. And when they got it on the wall, it was like a gold, and I never liked that color. I was so sorry that I didn't take the time and put that color up there and see what it looked like once it dried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And have you standardized on one color for your wood trim? What I'm talking about, the trim around the windows, the baseboard, the trim around the doors, etc. Is there one color that you've standardized on for your trim in your house, or do you have multiple colors?
No, it's all the same. All the doors, the trim, everything is all the same.
May I ask what color you standardized on?
Well, you know, Vince, I don't know. We bought the house used. I mean, it's a well-built home. It was built by Mennonites, the structure. I don't think they did all the inside work. I think they just did the framework. But it's sort of like a medium brown color, and it has more of a little bit of like the like a red tone to it, almost just a slight red tone. So I don't know if it's like a cherry kind of a look, but not quite as dark as that.
Okay. Very good. We painted all ours just plain white. Now, we used to paint the walls white and the trim antique white, which would be a kind of a just a light, light, light hint, just a hint of yellow or tan, just a hint. And then we decided that we liked the white trim and maybe eggshell color walls for most of the house, except, you know, there are a couple of rooms that have a slight tint, a slight hint of a green, tan color. And, you know, I wasn't used to that, but Mrs. Finelli wanted to do it. So there are a couple of rooms in the house that have that, and they're, you know, smaller rooms. And it's great. It's great to have those accents. But the ceilings are still white. And we don't have... we have all vaulted ceilings, so the ceilings in most rooms, you know, are at an angle, and so there's a lot of reflective ceiling, and they are the ceiling white, and it works great for us. Kathy, did you want anything else you want to talk about paint, or did you want to get into another topic?
I'd like to get into another topic, Vince, but I have one last question for you.
Sure.
You said you bought the 5-gallon buckets, and you said you bought them 15, 16 years ago. How long does the paint last?
I don't know, because it's still good.
Wow.
But, you know, now, if you open it up, you might see that there's a hint of mold on the top of the paint if you don't shake it. So I just shake it up. I put it in a four-wheeler, and I take it for a ride. Or I strap it into the back of the corner of the pickup truck in the back corner, and I take it for a ride. Literally, you know, stop, start, you know, down the bumpy road. And by the time I'm done, it's almost at the point where I could use it. And then I take that paint stir on the drill, and I finish it. But, it's still good. Now, I saw my dad do something back in the 1950s, and this is when they had oil-based paints. And oil-based paints, if you put the lid back on, they didn't store too well. And he would take a screen, like a window screen, and he would pour the paint through the window screen several times. He'd take the clumps out, you know, that were, you know, would not re-dissolve. And then he would use that paint because, frankly, paint is darn expensive. And I think, if I remember correctly, last time I was at one of those big box stores like Home Depot or one of those places, you know, their top quality paint was getting, you know, nudging up against $50 a gallon. Is that right, Kathy?
Yeah. Oh, I think that's what we paid for our Benjamin Orr. But Vince, you know, maybe the other thing you could do is that I have a strainer. It's a metal strainer, and it's probably a good 8 inches across, 6 inches across. You could probably just designate one of those for pouring it in and getting out the clumps.
Absolutely. And that's what my dad did with the screen. He taught chemistry, and he formed, you know, a piece of used window screen, because we didn't throw anything out in our family. So a piece of used window screen that, you know, had a few holes in it, no problem. We'll just keep that, roll it up, and keep it. And then he would put a couple layers together to screen the paint. That way, one hole would be blocked by the next layer of screen, that kind of a thing. And he'd form a cone with it, and he would use a paint stir to force the paint through the screen. And it worked great. And by the way, Kathy, I want to mention, I thin out the paint that I use. I don't know if it's recommended, but I would rather apply multiple thin coats rather than one thick coat. And I've never seen paint ever that I've bought that says it covers 400 square feet per gallon. No way. No way does the paint. No, two things. One coat covers all. No, one coat doesn't cover, and it doesn't cover 400 square feet per gallon. Those are two things that I think are universally true with regard to paint. Have you found the same thing?
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I do is I use like filtered water, you know, ProPure water. You can use Berkey water, and I thin out the paint, and it works better. That's the first coat. By the way, we use primer. We use wallboard primer for new surfaces, and that really works well. So the primer adheres to the wallboard and the spackle, and then the paint adheres really well to the primer, because regular paint without primer mixed in does not adhere as well. And so we go through the extra effort of using primer, and then we paint. Now, I understand that there's paint with primer mixed in. I don't know. I just do it the old-fashioned way, because it's tried and true, and it works great. What else did you want to talk about?
Well, Vince, I wanted to ask you something. I was listening to you, I don't know if it was a week or two ago, you were talking to Dr. Shealy, and you were talking about using the castor oil in your eyes, which I have done.
Uh-huh.
And I've also been doing it for my dog. I know that Dr. Shealy mentioned it, or you mentioned it. Do you remember how many days that was?
How many days we do it?
Yeah, in a row, it's supposed to help if they have a cataract,
Dr. Shealy's been mentioning a month, but I noticed a difference with me in one day. I mean, the biggest difference to me was the first day. So at night, you know, before sleep, one drop in each eye. And you know, you really worry about this. You know, you're going to wake up and you're going to be able to see. And it's really disconcerting. No question about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Next morning, you know, I looked around. I can see better. And then, so let's say there an improvement on a scale of 1 to 10. The first day improvement would be a 10. second day might be 6. You know, and the subsequent days might be a 3, 4, 2, 1, okay? So you don't get the dramatic improvement, at least in my case, as much of an improvement the second day and the third day and the fourth day and the fifth day as you get, you know, the first day. So 30 days, I believe, is what Dr. Shuler talks about. But I do it all the time. So, you know, if I decide I'm going to relax and use the pulse electromagnetic frequency device, which I use every day, I have a bottle of castor oil USP. It's just for me, and it's clean, it's sterilized, and I don't let the dropper touch my eyelashes, and I lie down, and I look up, and I get the inside corner of each eye with just one drop. Then I look around like, you know, like I'm really concerned. I'm looking all over, and it spreads the castor oil. And then I kind of close my eyes. Or sometimes I'll just watch the screen. I'll watch the Rockford Files, or I'll watch Combat, or I'll watch The Twilight Zone, or I'll watch The Outer Limits, or I'll watch a historical documentary, something like that, with it blurry with this stuff in my eyes. But it seems to work the best overnight because your eyes stay closed most of the night as compared to trying to watch TV, you know, with these drops in. But I absolutely believe it works, and I've used it on my dogs, but unfortunately one of the dogs didn't live long enough for me to see results. But the next dog, her sister, is getting those treatments, and I think she's doing better. I really do. So that's my take. Oh, by the way, I got an email, and I probably should read this, from Amit, one of our students. And so let me just read this. I heard both hours in the archive, and you noted in your discussion with Dr. Shuler about radiation exposure at cruising altitudes of airliners. And it goes on to say that a radiologist relative told him that ultraviolet radiation for the pilots in the front was so high that pilots as young as in their 40s were found to develop cataracts. So ultraviolet is kind of dangerous. So if you if you're concerned, you might want to call in and ask Dr. Shuler about using castor oil drops in your eye, and it must be USP, U.S. Pharmacopeia, to dissolve those cataracts. Do I think it works? Absolutely, absolutely, because I've done it for me.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Class, I'm going to tell you what I did, and it's a kiss of death. Literally. During this broadcast, I heard a commercial that I was not very pleased with. So I sent an email, and I'm going to read the email I sent. I sent it to the CEO of the company. And I'm going to read it to you. I'm not going to give you his first name, because I've talked to this person. And it says, quote, I just sent this during the broadcast with Kathy. Quote, this is from me. Quote, I hear your commercials on GCN about your blank product. Specifically on our broadcast class, USA Prepares. Do you think the words, and I have one in quote that they use, and another word they use in quotes, that you use in your commercials enhance your radio image? Thank you, Vincent. So I just asked the question. You think this is? Do you think this enhances your image? Now this is the kiss of death, because criticizing commercials gets you thrown off the air. Now how do I know that? Because I have a degree in that. I've been thrown off the air for criticizing commercials. I just got an email back. This is like within 30 minutes, and it says it's to GCN, and it was copied me. Can you quote? Can you take this commercial out of rotation? Thank you. And it's signed by the people at the company that have this commercial. So what I was trying to say is I thought it was, you know, not enhancing their image. And they, you know, they were talking about a testimonial that they had about. So some guy who used their product used language that I thought is offensive. And I told him. And you know what? They're taking the commercial off the air. So we didn't get taken off the air yet, but the commercial is being taken off the air. What do you think about that, Kathy?
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Well, let me ask you this, Kathy. Since we might get thrown off the air, let's get thrown off together if we're going to do it. Did you find it as offensive as I did? I mean, you know, it's acceptable language today, but to me, I don't like it.
It just doesn't. It could be worded better. It just doesn't seem appropriate to say that. I mean, that's
correct.
That's like two high school kids talking, you know, out in the yard or something. But I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. Yep. So did you have? We've never talked about this. Have you had that? Did you have that same kind of reaction that I had?
Yeah, and that's the first thing I thought was, oh, you know, Vince isn't going to like this one. Just because of the wording.
Well, you know, there's an old saying that I remember teaching in my class, and that is, you know, when one company says to its employees, look, you know, at a pep talk, you know, we're no worse than anybody else. That's not the image I would want to leave with my employees if I had any. I would want them to know that we're the best. So we want to raise the bar, and if we can help our advertisers, you know, have a better image, I think we should do it, but it's darn risky. I mean, telling someone, you know, if someone has a BO problem, and I'm not saying that relates to this, but, you know, it's risky telling someone, you know, listen, have you ever tried bathing? I mean, or deodorant or something like that. It's risky. Because, you know, you can destroy that friendship. But these guys took it pretty darn well. And I've talked to the CEO, and, you know, I've explained this to him, and somehow they slipped one of these commercials in again. But, Kathy, did you want to talk about lighting?
Well, Vince, can I mention real quick the follow-up on the castor oil?
Absolutely.
I have been using castor oil in my eyes every night. And I remember I heard about this from another doctor that recommended it. And I believe it's true. I believe I can see better. And what I do is I take an old, you can use a glass dropper bottle too, but I take like a sterile eyedropper, like one that you got eyedrops in, and I put the castor oil in there, and then I put it in my eyes every night. But I actually, once I get it in my eyes and rub it around, I put it on my eyelids and my eyelashes, because what they're saying is it absorbs through the skin, but it also helps with people that have dry eye. It helps to moisturize. And what I do is I have a eye mask, and it's kind of weighted a little bit. It's real soft. It's made by Earth Therapeutics. And I warm it up. That's really the only thing I use the microwave for. I warm it up in the microwave for about 30, 35 seconds just so it's warm. And I lay that on my eyes, and that helps the oil to break up and absorb. And I think my eyes have done much better by doing it that way. But that's just, and Humco is the brand that Dr. Sheely recommends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I believe I have the same brand here. I can't see it from, or can't reach it from the microphone. But, Kathy, you know, we had a whole bunch of things we were going to talk about. We just can't seem to get through, can we?
One topic, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah, Kathy, thank you for spending your time with our class today, time that you'll never be able to get back and reuse, and I really appreciate it. You're a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of experience, and I truly appreciate your friendship. And
now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.